because we're going to have a full hour here. And thank you, Pastor Melody. And could I ask you to do one more thing? Thank you so much. Okay, I just need that box of books that's sitting out there in the table in the room that we're at. Okay, so this is the last evening. Oh, okay, it's all right. It's all good. Yeah, don't worry about it. We'll get it later. This is the last evening of our prayer series. So hopefully you're thinking, gee, I would like more. Or hopefully you're not thinking, wow, I'm glad it's over. But I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on that one. But I want to have a few testimonies, real brief ones. And before we do that, thank you so much. I want you to see where I want to go. Next week, we're going to have the AGM, which means Annual General Meeting. It's for people who are members, or if you're regular attenders, you can find out the business of the church. We have good news. It won't take that long next week. We're going to do it at this time slot. It's a requirement of the law for charities to do this, to have a members meeting. So we'll celebrate what God's doing. And then 2 weeks tonight, I want to start teaching this topic. It's called the Family Blessing Guidebook. And I know the author well. It's Terry and Melissa Bone. And my wife says, not well enough. I got a lot to learn about myself. But other than that, this is really our life message. And it came out of a time in our own family where we learned what blessing is. It's not material blessings, it's spiritual blessings. There are earned blessings where you get rewards for good behavior, and even your dog understands those kind of blessings. But there are blessings that we call the family blessings, and I'm just going to give you a snippet now to get your focus in so you know if you want to come and be part of this. We call it for everyone who has not had a perfect family. And so the idea is this: the very first act of God with the very first family was a spoken blessing. Genesis 1:28. When Adam and Eve were created, it says he blessed them, and then he told them to rule. He gave them a job. They had a destiny, but they couldn't fulfill their destiny without the blessing. And the blessing was not earned. It was a gift. It was the empowerment to do what God had told them to do. So every one of us, and we're going to take it right out of the life of Jesus and out of the Old Testament, both of them, every one of us has a package of blessings in heaven that should be downloaded into us for identity and destiny. Who you are in heaven's eyes, and what God has called you to do, and what you're capable of doing. So we go through that, and we talk about the book's in three parts: what is blessing and what is its power. And then secondly, we go through the stages of blessing in a life: conception, pregnancy, birth, early childhood, teen years, adult years, which is subdivided into categories, and then senior years. So there's something for every stage. But particularly what this does is reinvigorate us with the power of words, and how words, deeds, and ceremonies can be used to build a wall of protection around those you love and give them the freedom to live in the blessing of God. And so we believe in this powerfully, and we're going to take a few weeks to unpack that. And maybe, I don't want to promise something I can't deliver, but I've already voluntold my wife. She's coming for a couple of those to help. You've heard about voluntold, yes, right? It's something pastors like to do. And but Melissa really has a great teaching on the early parts of life and how to deliver those blessings. All right. And in fact, she was teaching this in Nepal by Zoom. She was in Canada and was teaching in Nepal when I was there. It was great. Okay, we're going to do a concert prayer tonight. But as I've been saying to people, I understand as soon as I left the room last Wednesday, the Holy Spirit showed up. That you had this radical increase in the presence of God. So thank you, Pastor Melody, for pushing that by faith when I was kind of letting people go. Just two or three, and I just want like a 1 to 2 minute testimony. It just anybody want to say how they encountered God last Wednesday night and the difference it's made? Yeah, right on, man.
Just tell us who you are and what happened. Hi, I'm David. So last week Wednesday was actually my first time at the church. It was a big transitional situation. I come from a background. I grew up in the gospel. My dad's a pastor. My brother-in-law's dad is a pastor. He was my first pastor. So we grew up very much in the church and in the gospel. But I never got the opportunity to find the Holy Spirit the way I did that day. I never spoke tongues before, and I just kind of got into the mindset that it would never happen, and it's okay. It happens for some, and it doesn't happen for others. That day, I was reluctant to go up to the front just because I'm like, okay, it's my first time here, so it doesn't have to be like that. But the Spirit told me to not be reluctant and to just let. I went up to the front, and Pastor Melanie had prayed over me. And when she did, I felt the anointing to want to speak in tongues or to let out what God wanted me to let out. But with that, there was also an opposing force, I would say, something that was blocking it, almost like a mental fog, to not even understanding how to use my voice, how to use my vocal cords to project a noise out of my mouth. When I decided to just surrender and not let that opposition take over, as well as, you know, sometimes we feel like the shame or the nerves behind it. I just let go of everything in that very moment, and it just started to come out. And when it did, the prayer that came after that was so clear, like the words were just flowing out of me. I told Pastor that it came out like if I was an auctioneer, just words just flowing through me. Which prior to that, I had struggled with prayer. I would always get brain fog or moments in which I just get stuck in my prayer and don't know what to say. But I really understand that was the Holy Spirit speaking through me. So,
awesome. Amen. Yeah. Woo. I love that. Love that. Someone else? Somebody else being voluntold here? Grace?
She's pretending she can't hear that. She has a hat on. She's in the middle.
Okay. Grace, grace, God's grace. Okay. Well, while Grace is deciding, is there anyone else? Oh, we got a lot of finger pointing going on here tonight. Sure, come on, Alicia. Oh, there's Grace. Okay, I would not want to miss God's grace. Okay,
sister, what happened?
You know, I was sitting in my seat, and then I was sitting there, and the Spirit said, saying to me, go up, but I was being stiff-necked, and I sat there, and after I come to the front, because Pastor Melody insisted on everybody come to the front, so I just got up and I come to the front, came to the front, singing and praising, but my eyes opened wide, and then after Pastor Melody go around and start praying for everyone and touched everyone, she literally just put her hand on me, and I lost. I just fall right back. And then after, something started to come out of my mouth. I don't know. I couldn't make out the word. I couldn't even say it. Just like, it's just, the Spirit is just going through me, and I'm saying something, but I don't know what I'm saying. And after I sat down, after everyone, Pastor Melody finished praying, and I sat there for a little bit, the word just kept in my mind just keep going with the Holy Spirit, just keeps saying, bzz, 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 and I don't know what that means. And I keep praying and said, God, please, I just kept on saying, please, God, let me, tell me what you mean. Let me understand what you're trying to tell me to say. I know I'm not supposed to know what I'm saying, but you know what I'm saying. And I just continued to pray and said, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Continue to fill me that it will come right out. And that night after I went home, I just stopped praying, continued to pray. And that same week, I felt like in the middle of the night, about 4 o'clock, the Holy Spirit touched me. I got out of my sleep. I was like, where am I? And I felt like a shadow came over me and someone's touching me. And all I could say is just, I praise you, Lord. I praise you. I said, Holy Spirit, fill my soul. Fill my soul. I just kept on saying, touch me. Heavenly Father, I know you're here. And I just kept on praying and praying and continue to pray. And from that moment on, I continue to just pray that God will continue to reveal himself to me and that the Holy Spirit will continue to build me up. So I know one day it will come out. And I just want to say thank you, Pastor Melody. I'm not good for public speech. I'm a little bit shy. I'll come up and pray, but I'm not one to give speech. But God is working on me. Thank you.
That's beautiful. Don't leave, please. Don't leave. Give us a little background here, Pastor Josh. Just something on the keys. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's stretch out a hand and pray for our sister. I'm just feeling we can't rush this part of the meeting at all. Because this is the testimony of Jesus, who he is and what he's doing. And we're here for this more than anything. In the name of Jesus, I see that the Lord is taken even a wound from the past, and he's holding it up and he's saying, no more. My oil is covering it. My oil is covering it. You've been obedient. You've been obedient, and now it's my pleasure to fill. And you just give up that right to know when the Holy Spirit's speaking through you. You give up the right to know what it is, and he'll give you interpretations. He'll give you words of knowledge. He'll speak to your heart. So sister, could I ask you just to raise your hands in a comfortable way to the Lord and just receive. Receive, receive again, receive more, receive a filling, receive the power that comes because you are the Lord's child and he loves you. And let those Holy Spirit languages come out like never before. Fill in Jesus' name. Fill now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. Amen. 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 That's so precious. Alicia, what would you like to share?
Hi, I'm Alicia. So for the last month, it's been really on my heart to get baptized with the Holy Spirit. And last Wednesday, I attended the Bible study thinking that we were going to do the topic speaking in tongues, so I was really looking forward to it. And then when I arrived, Pastor Terry said that he forgot that we didn't finish intercessor, so he was going to continue that. So I was a little bit like let down. And so we were sitting, and then as he began, he said he felt like it was on his heart to do speaking in tongues. So I was like, yes, right? And then so he began speaking. And as he was speaking, the words that he spoke about, when it comes to being able to speak in tongues, you have to remove your mind because it's a spirit thing. And that jumped out at me because sometimes I get so in my head about certain spiritual things. So at the end, when Pastor Melody called everyone up, I went to the front and she started praying for me. And I felt like there was a blockage. And so I was trying to like fight through that, but surrendering at the same time. So I felt like a really heavy presence come over me. I sat down and I started to feel a little bit like in my stomach. There was like a moving in my stomach. And then I stood up and I had my hands out and I was singing, and then all of a sudden I felt like his love, like, overcome, like, came over me. And then I spoke, and then I fell on the ground, and I just started crying, like crying excessively. And it was just, I was just covered with his love, and that was it. I spoke before, and then I fell. Yeah, and then that's when I fell. Yeah, so then after, I was so eager. I was like, I just want to go home and speak in tongues, right? So I went home after, and then I continued, but it was just like very, it was a very emotional thing. Like, I was just crying and crying and crying while doing it. So praise God.
Just the short version, which church did you grow up in?
I didn't grow up in a church.
You were in Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yes, I was in Jehovah's Witnesses. And then through Jehovah's Witnesses, Jesus saved me. So, yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
So. I was 2 months away from getting baptized as a Jehovah's Witness, and then Jesus saved me. And then, yeah. So I was in a relationship, and through that, so I wasn't raised in the church. I always kind of believed in God, but I didn't really practice. And so I entered into a relationship with a Jehovah's Witness, and then through my relationship with him, it got to the point where it was like, okay, in order for us to continue, you need to convert. But prior to that, there was changes being done in my life, and it was God, looking back now, it was God preparing me. So I had a stirring within my heart to want to change the way I was living. So I was like, okay, I'll start studying with Jehovah's Witnesses. So it was like 8 months in of studying just their religion. Well, it was like a year and a half. And then 8 months of that, it's when I was like, I'm becoming a Jehovah's Witness, right? I told my family. It was very difficult. But then my dad took me out and spoke to me, because my dad is born again. And in the 90s, he was searching and he studied Jehovah's Witnesses. So he basically spoke to me and said, you know, when someone has the truth, there should be no reason why they can't search out, right? Because as a Jehovah's Witness, you're not allowed to search out or question. So after that talk, it's like God opened up my eyes, and then my love for God became so strong. And I'm like, God, I don't know who you are, but I want to know who you are. So my desire to know him was greater than my desire to be with my boyfriend. So I started searching out. I started studying the Trinity, because they deny the deity of Jesus. And within 3 weeks, Jesus revealed himself to me through scripture, became born again. It was like October, like Thanksgiving weekend, I became born again. But then it became difficult, because I knew that what that meant for my boyfriend and I. And so we ended up breaking up. And we broke up for 3 weeks. He came back. Then I went back to studying with Jehovah's Witnesses, because whatever I had to go through, what I had to go through. But that second time I went back, it was to understand their doctrine. So I went back and I was like, I want to know what I'm saying no to. But it was hard, because I was turning away from Jesus, and that was difficult in itself. But I basically got to the point where I convinced myself so much that Jehovah's Witnesses was the truth, because all I did was study their sources. And it wasn't until maybe 3 months later, I woke up one morning, and no, what happened was, so I had to get rid of all my Christian music, because I wasn't allowed to listen to it. And so then, slowly it started coming back on my playlist, so I started listening to it again. And then one morning I woke up and my eyes were just opened, and I was just like, what am I doing? Because I faced lots of rejection from him and his family. And then when you come to understand the love of Christ, and then you walk away from it, it's something you can't ever live without. So I started to feel like nothing in this world is worth taking me away from Christ. So I basically just started praying. I'm like, God, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this again, but I really need you just to step in. And within 2 weeks, it was Easter weekend, he made a way for me, and then we broke up. And yeah, so that was in like April 2021 is when I officially ended. Yeah.
Wow. Hallelujah. Thank you. Bold and knowing, and what's one of the things that's really impressed me about your journey is that, like, I need to know why I believe what I believe. and now it's not enough. You know, when Billy Graham's ministry started in my parents' generation, if you can believe that, you know, he'd go, "The Bible says," and that was enough because people were church people. They'd, "Oh, the church says, but the Bible says." Of course, we think the Bible's an authority. You can't do that anymore. You can't just say, "Well, the Bible says." We have to say why we believe that. We have to have a better knowledge and understanding of our foundation. But Jesus is encountering people anywhere and everywhere. I'm looking for Will. Is Will here? He said he was coming tonight. I'm going to tell a story. Some of you know we were on the phone today because he came up after Sunday and saying, "I'm rededicating my life. I'm making this, you know, firm and secure." Will grew up without faith, and then one day it occurred to him that the Bible has been around for thousands of years in his mind. So maybe it has some good advice because it's still around. So he said, "I don't want to become a Christian, but I'm going to check out the Bible because I need some advice." And he started reading the Bible, and he saw that there was some good advice, but he found himself being drawn in. One day he was listening to a podcast about a Roman philosopher. He was driving in his car, and the philosopher was talking about logos, like the word in Greek and what it meant. And as he was listening to the podcast, he looked up and he was driving by Logos Church and saw this sign. And he said, "Oh, that must be a sign from God. Go in that church." Isn't that awesome? So I told the board last night, I'm sawing off a branch or two of the trees out there because we can hardly see the sign anymore. Apparently the city's given us custodianship of those trees. So I'm bringing a rough cut saw on Sunday. I'm going to hack off a branch and pray in more people to see Logos as they drive by. So it's just like, you know, and some of this is the fruit of your prayers, and the presence of God, you know, is here. And I just know we're not getting to a concert of prayer tonight. We need to hang out here. At Lake Mount Worship Center, which is on the highway between Hamilton and St. Catharines on the QEW, you may have seen it, right? And we used to, at that time, there was 35,000 cars a day or vehicles a day went by. Now there's something like 70,000. But we used to face the highway and pray in the sanctuary just like this, three windows, be like that on the side. And in our prayer meetings, we just say, "In the name of Jesus, we declare this is our turf. This is our property. This is the place of meeting with God. We declare that the presence of God will rule here and reign." And we even extend that sphere across the highway so that anybody who drives by will come under the influence of the presence of God that dwells here. Now, we started having people come in that just said, "I was driving by and I felt I should come in." So we had a newcomers class one Saturday morning. And I'm telling that story that I just told you. As I'm telling it, a man walked in. He said, "Well, I saw cars in here, and I was just driving by, and I felt like I had to come in." As I'm telling the story, somebody came in because they felt compelled to. And I think we need that kind of faith for this house here right now. I don't see Will. Is Will here? Oh, there's Will. Come on up, Will. I just started to tell your story. You should tell it, not me. But I think that we need the faith to start believing that, you know, this is a meeting place of God. And that, you know, if somebody walks across because they're taking a shortcut to the variety store, they should experience the presence of God as they walk on this property. Why not? It's our turf. We rule. I truly believe in that. That's why when there's been demonic manifestations, once in a blue moon, once in a while, when it's in a church or in a service, I have no problem with that because this is our turf. There's no demonic force that is going to be able to take over our meeting. And we talked about that many, many weeks ago. Hey, brother, how you doing? I want you to come on up and talk, okay? I really like you. We had such a good talk today. I'm like, this man really, really examines his faith. I just told them that one day you were driving by here, right? And you were listening to a podcast that a philosopher talking about Logos, and then you saw the sign. So I told it accurately?
Yeah. It was actually, I was listening to the audiobook for this Marcus Aurelius's book, Meditations. I was really getting into Stoicism and whatnot, and he was talking about Logos this and Logos that. And of course, it was kind of in a pagan context. But I thought to myself, Marcus Aurelius is the guy that's always referenced by atheists. It's like, look at this philosophy. That's all we need. Marcus Aurelius was a very religious guy. Pagan, but religious. And that kind of challenged me to think, okay, this is one of the most insightful, wise kind of philosopher guys that, you know, is always held up as an example. If he could find some wisdom from spirituality, from you know, exploring that, maybe I could too. And that's when I passed by Logos and said right there, Bible study. And I'm like, oh, well, I guess I'll check that out. And I've been trying to work my way through the Bible ever since. And I went from basically atheism to agnostic to, I need to start calling myself a Christian because that's what I want.
Follower of Jesus, right? Do you mind if I pray for you now? Yeah? I mean, this is a safe place, right? I want this man to understand this is family here. And I'm going to ask Daniel and Mike if you'd come over here and stand. Yeah, come on over here and stand with me as we're praying for this brother. And so Jesus met a religious leader and said, you must be born again. And do you guys know each other? No?
Me and Michael?
Yeah.
I don't know him.
All right. No, that's what I meant. Now you threw me off my game here. Yeah. Yeah, I bet you are. So Jesus met a guy named Nicodemus, and he was a religious ruler, John chapter 3. And you can imagine, he was so steeped in religion that when Jesus said, you must be born again, Nicodemus wasn't even thinking spiritual. Why did he become big? Like, he was literally thinking, you know, physical. Like, it's like this Jesus, this kingdom of God, like, he's the man from heaven. Like, don't you get it? And what I like is that Will is farther ahead than even a guy like that, because he's already getting it. But the thing that Jesus told him was that when the light goes on, it's like being born again, because the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. He fills you, and it's like that third part of you, the Spirit, it's no longer inside the womb saying, I know there's a world out there, like a baby, before they're born, they're alive. But they're going like, I know there's another world. This can't be it. You know, with my eyes closed and in this little spot, this can't be all there is to life. And then one day they go, oh, this is what I was made for. My eyes are open, I'm breathing. And Jesus says, it's like that when you become a Christian. And with your permission, I want to pray tonight that God's going to seal that deal. You're going to know that experience that Jesus said and be filled with the Spirit. Are you good for that? You down for that? Okay, so just a little bit of housekeeping. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
That he died and rose from the dead?
Yes.
And that he hung on the cross for your sins and mine?
Yes.
Okay, can you say Jesus is my Lord?
Jesus is my Lord.
Welcome to the family. I just want to ask you to take a comfortable posture. You don't have to raise your hands up, but I like to have my hands like this as I'm receiving. You can do whatever you like, whatever's comfortable for you, Will. we're just going to pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And I want you to, if you want to extend a hand or just at least extend your faith in the name of Jesus, we just call upon the power of the living God right now. Lord, I ask you to forgive my sins. I ask you to wash me clean. And I ask you now by the power of the Holy Spirit, would you just give the seal? Paul calls the Holy Spirit a seal. Would you seal what you have been doing for many, many months in our brother's life? Come, Holy Spirit, fill Will right now. Fill him in the name of Jesus. Spirit of God, come on him now. And Will, all the Lord asks is that you just say, Lord, I forgive anyone that has hurt me, and I just let my heart be clean. You can just do that quietly. If there's anyone that comes to mind, any hurt, any abandonment, any mistreatment, you just say, Lord, I choose to forgive. And just say, fill me now. Come, Holy Spirit. Power of God, come. Power of God, come. Brother, Lord, what it means to be born again, full of your Spirit, hearing your voice every moment, Lord, every week, every day, that the presence of God would lead our brother. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. More, Lord, more. Thank you, Lord. I'm just jealous for the work of God in people. And when I see, you know, some of us have been around church for a long time. I've been doing church for 50 years. But I just can never forget being one of those people that came in and said, this is strange, what's going on here? You know, feeling that I needed something, but really didn't know what the heck was going on. Because I married a PK, but I come from, you know, non-Christian family, so it's a whole different experience. And I want us in these days after Easter, between Easter and Pentecost, we're going to go into 40 days of making room for God, for the presence of God, and making room for visitors. We're gonna not only overturn the tables, we're gonna make room in our hearts and in our congregation for what God's doing. And those of us that have been doing church a long time, we need to check our hearts. We have our favorite pew. We have the people we always talk to when we come in. We're going to need to find somebody who doesn't look like us, doesn't sound like us, and go look them in the eye and say, how are you? Welcome. We need to do that. You know how meaningful that is? You know, one of the things Will told me today, he said, when he started coming to church, he says, people seemed so thankful. They were thankful for things, and they would talk about it. He says, there wasn't anywhere else in my life that I could get with a group of people, and they were all thankful. See, how you live and how you talk literally can bring the presence of God into people's lives. I need an hour for a concert of prayer. I think we're going to go with this. We're going to see what God's been doing. Any other testimonies now of something God's taught you through the series, or what happened last Wednesday, or an encounter you had? Is there anyone else that would like to come forward and testify? Anyone? Oh, come on, Jasmine.
Hi everyone, my name is Jasmine. I just wanted to share a bit about my journey in faith and how it's impacting my family and the people around me. So 2 years ago, I came to Logos for the first time during Easter weekend. I came from a family background of growing up in Sikhism and being involved in the New Age. I didn't believe in Well, I believed in spirituality, but I always looked at Christianity as dogmatic and religious stuff until I had a providential experience that brought me to Christ when I was in California. I had walked into a bookstore, and the Holy Spirit was working in me to pick up a Bible. And when I went into my car and I was trying to play my music on my phone, the radio started playing, and it was the Word of God playing on my radio. And I had not touched anything in my car. And so I was caught off guard with that. And from that moment on, I've been reading the Bible every single day. But what I noticed too is once I committed to Christ and came to the faith, just the family dynamic at home started to change. I grew up in a very chaotic family. Lots of, anger, lots of chaos. And just, I've seen how God's been working in my life, but also the people around me. When I got baptized last year, it was the first time my family members came to church, and it's been hard because I just really want my family members to know the love of Christ because of what it's done, not just in my life, but for those around me as well that I know that have been walking in the faith. And the reality is that Jesus is the only way. He is the truth and He is the life. And I think that the weight of that rests upon my heart, and I don't take it for granted. And just last Sunday, my mom came for the first time. She didn't even come to my baptism because she was just had a very negative posture towards me becoming a Christian. And for the first time ever, she came to church. And she's a little bit in her own ways stubborn, but I think that the Holy Spirit is going to work in her life, and I do have faith, and I firmly believe that my family members will be saved, and I have no doubt about that at all. And it's just prayer, it's walking and having the fruit of the Spirit, because it's talk is cheap. It's not about talk, it's not about that. It's all about your love for God, and that exudes when you're walking with Him and you abide in Him. And I just am grateful for the opportunity to be able to worship such an awesome God and share that with others. And yeah.
One of the benefits of testifying, there's a couple of things. You break the shame barrier, and whatever you're testifying about, you get to kind of relive it, and the presence of God comes and does kind of the same thing in your life. So there's, because I share stuff like, you know, what happened in the revival days in our church and all that, because I've had the opportunity to share it maybe 150 times in different churches, I feel like it's mine forever and ever, amen, and it's locked in. So the testifying itself is an act which brings the presence of God into the room and into your life. And it also strengthens that experience and creates neural pathways where that's the narrative you're living out of. It's the new story, and it's who you are. You have a new identity. You have a new identity. Like, it's amazing. And you're sending the blessing back up the family line. And I know what that's like. I was swimming against the Niagara Current at one point in my family. But after a while, it worked. And it will. It will. The fact that your mom was here gave me a big smile and a handshake when I met her. That's awesome. So let's pray for Jasmine's family right now, okay? Let's come into agreement. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Let the Sikhs become seekers. Let the Sikhs become seekers in Jesus' name. We declare that Jasmine's mother and father and siblings are coming in. We declare that Jasmine's faith is the tugboat that's going to move the whole ship. In the name of Jesus, this is going to happen. We declare that your love never ends, never stops, never tires, never gives up. It just continues to push us in the right direction. So, Father, come by your Holy Spirit and just fill Jasmine and give her wisdom and the words, and we declare her family will be saved in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, did you have this book yet? Okay, well, you can read it and help your prayer life for that. One more testimony. Somebody has a story we need to hear. What's happened recently? Or even last week. There was more people at the front than came up here, so maybe you're one of those people. Okay, I'm going to ask my brother Daniel. Come on up, bro. Yeah, just come up. I want to introduce you and by your wife. Yeah, I'm sorry. Stephanie, come on up, Stephanie. He needs moral support here. We met after the service on Sunday, so I just want people to get to know you. I saw you there. You were over on that side, and when you talked to me, there's something just tender about your heart to the Lord. God's doing something. And how long have you been attending?
It's my second time.
I knew that. It's his second time here, folks. Okay, let's welcome Daniel and Stephanie. I just love that. It's a privilege, honor to get to know people like you. What's God doing in your heart, and why would you be with us?
Calls me day and night, but when you're stubborn and trying to do things your own way, it's difficult. I know what the Lord wants me to do, but I dealt with putting my past and shame and guilt in front of me into thinking that I wasn't worth it. God took away people in front of me because I would put those people in front of me and follow them. And the Lord told me, look at me. That's the hard part. When you look at the Lord, you see yourself in the mirror. Lord shows you everything. He starts to chisel at you. He starts to break you down like concrete. In the church where we've been at, there hasn't been a pastor because of politics and whatnot. Not important. But I got tired of just being fed expired milk from 5 years. So I kept drowning in my own sin at the same time, to the point where I had to come to my wife and I said, listen, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what I've been struggling with. I need to have an open, I need to be an open book for you. It hurt her. It hurt me. and I had to put a stop. I'm the type of person that if I see a problem, I'm not going to mask it. I'm not going to put a rug over it. I need to fix it and get rid of it because I don't want to live with that. I take accountability for my actions, and I'm raw in a way where I will say what's going on because I know it needs to be dealt with. So the Lord was able to get that out of the way. The Lord says to me, you need to fix yourself now. You need to look at me. So I start reading my Bible again. I start praying again. I start watching YouTube videos, like different preachers and, you know, that are, you know, well-based in the foundation of the Lord. You know, I just don't look at any preacher. So the Lord, I don't know how, I ended up with like Logos Church, and I was like, okay. And I called another brother of mine, and I said, hey, like, have you heard of Logos Church? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I've been there before. He's like, I said, it's a beautiful church. He's like, you feel the Holy Spirit there. You should check it out. This was 2 months ago. I'm like, yeah, I'll give it a check out. Yeah. So I went ahead. I was like, okay, I'm gonna do it. But at the end of the day, the Lord, every day is like, I want you to focus on me. Don't look at anyone else. Just focus on me. You know, and amen. Amen. And yes. So.
Well, that's pretty humble and open to talk that way, and I just want to honor you. I don't know your story. This is as much as I know about Brother Daniel, but I don't know, something in my heart. When I saw this brother on Sunday, I thought, I need to meet him, and I want him to know that he's welcome. And Stephanie, I'm really pleased to meet you too. And it's very brave to stand up in front of strangers like this and let your husband go on like that. But is there anything you want to add? Anything you'd like to share with us?
Hi, my name's Stephanie. This is actually my very first time here. So I'm just here to support Daniel. We've been going through kind of a spiritual drought. It's very vulnerable to say and open and just be honest. But we've been really hungering and thirsting for God and His Holy Spirit. And we just really want to be around like-minded individuals, spirit-minded individuals, because we have experienced, you know, God's grace and goodness and power in the past. And it just feels... every time you go out there, you're wading in sewage of the world, right? Especially the way that things are currently. So we're really just looking for a way to fortify our spiritual lives looking for it. Yeah.
Well, you won me over already. Yeah, okay. Pastor Melody, would you pray with Stephanie? And I'm going to ask Dan to come up here with your namesake. And what we're going to do is I'm just going to ask you to form prayer groups now of maximum four, just three or four around where you are. And just pray into these three things. Pray that God will enlarge our hearts to welcome everyone He's bringing here. That's number one. Number two, let's declare that our families are going to experience some of the same things we've heard here. They're just like, come on, driving by, and the word Logos is on your podcast as well as you see it, or coming out of a Bible store when you're a Sikh, and then for some strange reason, the channels change and the Bible, audio Bible's playing. Like, God can do anything. We don't have to get people to church for them to encounter the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will go encounter them, and then we can bring them into the house of God. So number one, that we would enlarge our hearts to welcome. Number two, that we would, that our family members that need this would be encountered by the Holy Spirit wherever they are, whatever they're doing, whatever they're thinking. if they're out at the bar tonight, that somebody would sit beside them and start witnessing whatever it is. Let's just believe, God, that our prayers are going to sway this in the right direction. So just those two prayers to start with. And please, you're in a group of four. Don't pray for 15 minutes. Like, pray for 2 minutes at a time. I don't have a timer here, but give everybody a chance. And if you get a second time, that's great. But let's just seal our prayer series by making these declarations. And the whole idea of a concert of prayer is that everybody plays their own instrument, but together it makes a beautiful sound, to produce a sound together. So we're not all going to pray the same prayers, but we're producing a sound together in a fantastic array of agreement, and the Holy Spirit's going to meet us. So go ahead and pray that, and then we'll wrap it up with some worship and prayer time. you're done praying, why don't you stand with me? I told you when we, if you're still praying, you want to finish off, you finish off. That's okay. Just do what you want. I told you near the beginning that of this series that I'm really tired of prayer list meetings where we just get together and Lord do this, Lord do that, Lord do that. And I'm not putting that down. We call upon God, we name the names of people we're praying for, but meetings where we're just praying the problem, you know, and reiterating it again how bad it is. I hope if anything these last several weeks you've learned we don't have to just pray the problem. We can present our problems to Him, but then we can pray the word into the problem. We can focus on the Lord, and then we can start making declarations based on heaven. That's what Jesus did. He revolutionized prayer forever with what we call the Lord's Prayer. Because up until that time, people came in and they had to go through their rituals. He says, look up to heaven and say, Father, we love you, we honor you. Now come, kingdom of God. Come, will of God. That victory that's already real in heaven, we just pull it into earth. Because the devil's already defeated in heaven. He can never go back there. There's an unending worship time in heaven going on. There's unending praise. And Revelation 12 says, rejoice, you heavens, because the accuser of our brethren has been cast down. And yes, he's here on the earth. But those of us who, like in Ephesians, were seated in the heavenly places, we know that our spirit's there. We know the job's already been done. It's already settled. We don't have to beg or worry about heaven. It's settled. We can go up there in our spirits and we can bring heaven back down to earth in Jesus' name. So we pray out of a place of finished work and victory. So let's rejoice. Let's finish tonight with some celebration praise. Amen.